Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we are finishing up round one in our 2015 NFL Draft redraft of the first round. Trevor, I ran the numbers before we went on. Guess
Did
how
you?
Many out of the 21 first round picks that we've
Seven.
Done so far, guess how many were not first rounders at all? When the actual draft happened.
Wait, can I guess seven?
You can guess seven, but you would be wrong. We have done 21 picks. 11 of these dudes weren't first rounders. No. We have more non-first rounders going in our first round redraft
not
than
a great
first rounders.
Not a great draft for the old GMs, huh?
Not a great draft for the old GMs. Not a really great class. There's some guys here and there, but overall, yeah, this was a class that left a lot to be desired. Perhaps none more so than, actually, that's not true. There are some more so than Bud Dupree, but.
That's super not true.
Yeah, that's super not true.
That was a good segue.
Yeah,
that was
a good segue.
You were close.
I wish Bud Dupree was worse so that segue would have been better. But if he was worse, then my
you know,
team
if I wasn't
worse.
Here holding you accountable, as the people need me to do,
yes,
then you could have got away with it.
Yes, preach on that.
If it weren't for those meddling kids,
that's
and that
yes.
dog.
What dog? There was
right.
a dog.
Dude, did you not catch? Did you not catch the Scooby-Doo reference? My lord, can I get all right?
You
just
think
go
I
on
watched Scooby-Doo? I didn't even watch it as a kid, man.
You didn't watch.
I had no childhood.
I have nothing to say to you.
I've lost him forever. Bud Dupree's been an average player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think. I mean, I think that he's not been a first rounder, clearly, but I give that a C. I give it a C. It's better than some of the other first rounders, but yeah. At this point, you know, you're hoping for a little bit more. You look through the draft class. Man, I don't know. I mean, at this point, things were pretty rough in Pittsburgh on the defensive side of the ball.
But they really need it. They don't really need that spot.
What's that?
Were they needed, though? Like, were they going after the right need?
I think that they were. I mean, they definitely needed a pass rusher. Right now, it was James Harrison, and Jarvis Jones was on his way to being even more of a bust than he already is. And Arthur Motes on the other side, you know, they didn't have any real pass rush. So it was clearly the biggest need for Pittsburgh. Now, when you look at who was on the board, who's on the board in our redraft, Trey Flowers, not really a fit for that role. Dante Fowler. Could have played in that role. I would definitely take Fowler over Bud Dupree based on what I've seen so far. You know, is he the best player that's on the board right now available for Pittsburgh? I don't know if I see it that way. So you know, you're just kind of looking through and trying to find the guy at that position that could be the best guy in this left in this class. And I just don't really see anyone. I mean, again, Marcus Golden's a possibility. You know, he's been better so far than Bud Dupree, but. You know, I don't know what the ceiling is there with Marcus Golden. You know, did he explode onto the scene, and are we going to get the same player? You know, he gets a lot of hustle sacks, but he's also been really good with his hands. So, again, mm-hmm. I'd rather have these guys over Bud Dupree. But when you look at what the Steelers also needed, you know, cornerback was in a really bad way at this point. Cortez Allen didn't – I think he got cut, like, the next year. Maybe it was this year. I don't remember. William Gay, Kevin Fogg, B.W. Webb. You know, this was a pretty brutal cornerback.
B.W. Webb.
Yeah, yeah.
What a name.
I know. It was a rough group, and Ike Taylor, I believe, at this point was about to retire. I'm pretty sure. It's been kind of this whole last couple of years has been the Steelers kind of remaking their entire defense. But I just feel like having a guy like Ronald Darby, who's still on the board at this point, the best cornerback left in this class. You know, I think that. If you're picking from what's left, which, as we said before we went on here, is not much, man. Like, there is just not a lot of talent left for us to pick from. So people are going to hear some picks. They're going to be like, that guy's a first-rounder. But listen, folks, we got slim pickings at this point in this class. So, you know, so far, I think Darby's had a very good career. I know he had the down second year in Buffalo, but he bounced back this past year in Philly. Had a good rookie year. Still think... You know, he's a good corner for what the Steelers like to do as well. You know, I don't think that he's necessarily a press man type of corner, but, you know, the Steelers have been traditionally a zone heavy team, and I think that's where some of his traits can really shine. So I'm giving Darby to Pittsburgh in the redraft.
We got the Broncos next. They ended up taking Shane Ray. I don't know. What would you give Ray? I mean,
I still think
that's, yeah.
he was really productive his second year, but then he missed a lot of last year with an injury and wasn't really effective. And now he's going to be like the third or fourth edge there. So, I mean, it's not really boding very well for Shane Ray. They didn't pick up his fifth year option, so he's probably on his way out the door.
Right.
Chubb.
Yeah, no, I would have gone with a C. But I like the direction that they went. I'm kind of looking at their roster. Peyton Manning's there. They got Brock Osweiler, though. Running backs are fine. The only thing is that they could afford to go offensive line, I think. But I like the idea with the guys that are left. I like the idea of them sticking with the pass rush. And I'm actually going to give them Dante Fowler. I think that Fowler coming in behind a guy like DeMarcus Ware when he's still there. Von Miller is obviously there as the outside linebacker as well. But I liked what the Denver Broncos were trying to do here with Shane Ray, coming up with an arsenal of pass rushers, not just looking at the first wave and thinking, okay, we're good. I like the idea of Fowler coming in, being a rotational piece. And like I said, kind of creating that it was made much more famous, I guess, this year, as people can remember with Jacksonville. It's almost as if they were just throwing guys, sure, all kinds of pass rushers out at you. But that kind of strategy isn't necessarily new, but it was implemented very well in Jacksonville. I think that's what the Broncos were obviously trying to do with Shane Ray, even though they had the two guys in front of them. I just think it would have worked better, say, with Dante Fowler, but it's kind of like a duh because he was the third overall pick in this draft. So I think if he's obviously here at 24, he's the guy with the Broncos, and I think it works out a lot better for them.
Yeah, no, good points. This was the draft where the Cardinals kind of had, I don't know, if you look at what they kind of needed, I just feel like they really didn't have as many. I know we talk about all the needs that they have now, but this was when the roster was kind of peaking, you know? I mean, I think the interior defensive line was something that went unaddressed for too long. Calais Campbell anchored a group that really had average players around him for, you know, as long as he was there at best. And then I think the linebacker group, again, you know, Kevin Minter and Daniel Buchanan was a player that we had in the last draft, and so they were good in that spot. They could have perhaps been a little bit better there. They traded for Chandler Jones right after this, and they drafted Marcus Golden in this class. So they fixed the pass rush problem, but somewhere on the edge and the defensive line, that was where they really needed help at this point. They just didn't have enough talent at those spots. They ended up taking Marcus Golden. The DJ Humphreys pick so far, I would give a D. I mean, he hasn't been healthy, and when he's been healthy, he hasn't been consistently good enough. So I think you're staying away from that. You have Jared Veld here and Bobby Massey, so it was a tackle for the future, which was probably wise with Bobby Massey's contract set to be up and him set to move on. But I can't justify picking Humphreys here again. You look at who's available and who's on the board. Like I said, they needed pass rush help. Trey Flowers, we could take Marcus Golden here. David Irving, Malcolm Brown, Eddie Goldman, you know, all good players. I think all those guys help your team a lot. So there are multiple options here. I want to kind of give him Golden because, they drafted him anyway, and obviously it's been a good pick for them, but I'm going to go with Eddie Goldman here, give him a good player on the interior. I think Eddie Goldman has real pass rush ability. I think that he's been a very good player in the NFL when he's been healthy. He can get after the quarterback for a nose tackle, but he's also terrific against the run. I think he's quietly been one of the better players in this class, and the Cardinals really needed somebody like that. They just haven't had somebody like that on their interior, especially pairing him with Calais Campbell on, you know, nickel defensive fronts, those two on the inside. I just feel like it would have been very similar to Hicks and Goldman this past year in Chicago, just tearing teams up. So that was the type of player that they've really been missing. And I think you look back, we had discussions, Eddie Goldman, Malcolm Brown, and Danny Shelton. Those were the three, you know, all kind of nose tackle types. None were billed as great pass rushers. Those three were all kind of compared. And I think you look back and Goldman's been the best of those three players when they've been on the field.
I think I would have gone with, I'm just kind of looking at the roster as you were going through that. I think I would have gone with David Irving just for fun, but I understand you like the Golden.
I'm not sold on David Irving like some people are.
See, I might be super biased, and we're going to get to him because I'm going to pick him at some point in this first round.
Because he tore up your...
Because I watched him become the future Hall of Famer that he is against Goster Chairless.
Goster Chairless.
When they played the Buccaneers a couple of years ago. When was that? That wasn't last year. It was the year before.
That was 2 years ago, yeah. That was an insane game. I watched that game live, and I was like, what is happening? My goodness.
He looked incredible.
Right, and I know it's against the back of the tackle, but
And I totally get that it was like gods are chairless, but I even just thought that David Irving by himself like looked incredible. And yeah. I was like,
his ceiling is definitely as good as you're going to draft him. Like his ceiling is first round type ability. I just thought, I know last year he had the production, but if you watch the actual sacks, so many of them were just like hustle sacks, like DeMarcus Lawrence making something happen and Irving just kind of cleaning it up. I didn't think he was consistently at that level of play I hope to see from in year two, but it could happen this year for sure.
That's fair. Shaq Thompson was the pick here for the Carolina Panthers. He's been okay. I'd like Shaq Lawson. The Carolina pick was kind of interesting.
Shaq Lawson.
Oh, but yeah. But you
like him too, I guess. So.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal. I really enjoyed that pick by the Lakers. He didn't get picked by the Lakers.
I was about to say.
Now you're
digging up painful memories for Orlando Magic fans.
I got PTSD right now. but I'm looking at their offensive line. They got Michael Orr, Trey Turner, Ryan Khalil, Nate Chandler.
So those tackles are... Oh.
Yeah, I'm giving them Donovan Smith in this redraft.
That's a good pick.
Just because even if you're on the lower end of, hey, Donovan Smith hasn't exactly lived up to what he's necessarily been built to. I mean, he wasn't even a first-round pick in this draft. He was a second-round pick. So he was actually picked after this, and here after I've seen him play in the NFL, I would have taken him in the first round in this case, just because I still think it's obviously a better situation than the tackles that Carolina had at the time. I thought that would have been much more of a pick because linebacker is, don't get me wrong, like having instinctual linebackers, impactful linebackers, it's good. You need those guys in the center, but a lot of times the difference between the ceiling and the floor of prospects and almost impact on the game is much less with linebackers, especially when you like already have Luke Kuechly. So, and Thomas Davis, right? They had both those guys. Had both those guys. And so then they picked Shaq Thompson and it's like, okay, that was a complete luxury pick, which you're picking 20, what were they picking? 24th. So,
And then they did it with Vernon Butler. 25th. What? Like the next year they did it with Vernon Butler when they had Starlee Tulele
That was like Carolina's thing. Like they like to do that, but I think Donovan Smith would have been the better pick for them. He would have been more impactful, at least I think.
And they wonder why there isn't that much talent around Cam Newton. It's because they're double dipping on all their defensive position groups. I can't argue with that pick. I think Donovan Smith, like you said, he's not been great, but he's been pretty decent, and I think he's gotten better every year. And
he's been fine.
Yeah, I think he's been fine. You know, I think you're taking that. In this class, in the first round, you're definitely taking that. I mean, he's better than all the offensive
line narrative, man. Like, you play how many snaps a game? Like 70?
Yeah.
You could block well for 65 of them. If you don't block well for four, then people think you're awful.
Yep.
Agreed. So.
That's how it goes down. The Ravens actually took Breshad Perriman. That is a big fat F, no question about it. And so far, if you're keeping track at home, kids.
Wait, wow, you're sleeping on him, the comeback.
No, there will not be one. If you're keeping track at home so far.
Nah, he's sleeping, folks.
Here's the last, six picks. We've got an F to Cedric Ogbui, C to Bud Dupree, C to Shane Ray, D to DJ Humphries, C to Shaq Thompson.
Not a great 20s. Not a great 20s here.
It doesn't get a whole lot better moving forward.
The roaring 20s.
Yeah. The Ravens not going with Breshad Perriman, obviously, again in the redraft. They didn't have a ton of needs on this team. Obviously, wide receiver was one of them, but Nelson Agholor is the best receiver left. I could give him Agholor, but I'm just not going to go there at this point in the class. I like Agholor. I don't know that I would, given there's a couple players better than him on the board that I think fit what the Ravens are looking for. Running back, again, could be one. Jay Ajayi is on the board. I'm not the biggest Ajayi fan. Forsett, they were kind of hoping he would do his thing again, I think, this season. He didn't, narrator. But I think that if you look at the rest of the group, and defensively, this was a really terrific group up front. The one piece, Daryl Smith was getting near the end here. I think he actually, trying to remember exactly when he retired. They ended up getting good play at undrafted Zach Orr, but then he retired super early. So that other inside linebacker position's kind of just next to Daryl Smith's kind of just been a little bit, keeps rotating and rotating. But the other need that was really big for this team was safety. So they had a couple of spots they really needed to fill at this point in the class. And, so I'm a little bit torn between Jordan Hicks and Adrian Amos. Again, Adrian Amos was like a sixth round pick, I think. So
he's been really good.
Yeah, especially last season. He was so
really good for Chicago.
So, yeah, I'm going to draft Adrian Amos here. I actually, by the way, little self plug here.
I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have pushed you to that because I would have drafted him for the Cowboys.
Well, suck it.
Rip. Sorry, Cowboys fans. I blew it.
I honestly, I had a second round grade on Adrian Amos. I thought he was terrific in college. He went in like the sixth round. I don't think anyone talked about him pre-draft. And now he's a stud. So all this just goes to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you're looking for quality draft analysis, especially on this show, choose Ledyard.
Wait.
Yeah, you heard it. It wasn't a lie. I can pull
up. Wait, why was that an attack on me?
Whoa. What'd you say, attack? Let's ask you this, Trevor.
You could have chose right there to promote the show as a whole, and you chose to use your last name.
Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Sycamore.
Not called Locked On Ledyard Network.
Where did you have Adrian Amos on your board?
Gonna go with didn't watch that many prospects, so.
There's your answer.
I'm getting drafted in the sixth round.
Sips
I don't
tea.
Think I got around to him.
Sips tea.
No, he's been great, though. Yeah. No, it was a good call.
And now they have him and Eddie Jacks.
Yeah, so. And that's going to be a fun safety duo, yeah, no doubt. Is.
Good crew.
No doubt. Okay, Dallas on the clock next. Yes. They pick Byron Jones. Byron Jones is, where did he go? He went to the Chiefs because Marcus Peters went third overall. Mm-hmm. There's a chain reaction there. I think Byron Jones has been pretty good.
Or a B, right?
Yeah. You just put him down for a B. I mean, that's kind of the thing. He played corner for them initially, and then he moved back to safety, and now he's moving back to corner, right?
Something like that. He might have been.
So, I mean, you're obviously.
He's played a lot in the nickel.
I think he's played boundary. I think he's played nickel, and he's played free safety for them, right? And so what year is it? This will be his fourth year, and he'll be playing his fourth different position, I think, because they're moving him full-time to an outside corner. Right. So anytime you're doing that, you're obviously a talented kid. I think he's been exactly what – and that kind of versatility just doesn't come around very often. I think it has to be noted, especially when you're grading a guy out. And so I think that Byron definitely deserves that B grade. Maybe you could argue for an A. Mm-hmm. He's not here, though, so got to pick something different. I'm going to pick the Cowboys' David Irving. Picked him this draft. But again, you know, we talked about this earlier. Okay, so we talked about him a little bit earlier. We talked about his impact, kind of ceiling that he could have. I think he got second round tendered this offseason.
Oh.
Would you have traded for him?
No, because I wouldn't have just based on the talent. I don't trust the character, but just based on the talent.
What was his character? What's he done wrong?
Well, he's had a bunch of issues over the years. He was suspended to begin last season. That's why he went undrafted, was character.
Well, he was suspended because he had a diluted sample, right?
I can't remember.
I don't think it was anything serious.
Well, I don't mean like – I'm not condemning him as a person. I just mean the issues in general. And then this past offseason, there was the whole thing where – or this offseason, a couple weeks ago, his like girlfriend took over his Twitter account or whatever, hacked into his Twitter account or whatever, and was like tweeting about how he abused her and stuff like that. And then it's kind of gone away, and I don't really know. I mean, you never know with that. I mean, it just – there's always – like then there's the, oh, that didn't happen, or it was a – you know, I wasn't serious about it, and you don't know what's, you know, it's hard to read between the lines from our vantage point. But anyway, that's why he went undrafted. There were like significant character concerns about him. I forget the specific stuff at Iowa State, but you know, that was the whole story behind
it. Yeah, they've had him and Randy Gregory, which.
Yeah. It doesn't really feel like that stuff's completely gone away with him, which kind of scares me. But like, if he were squeaky clean, I think somebody would have traded for him. Let's put it that way. I don't think
he would have got second round tendered if
probably Drew.
And I think that kind of probably speaks to his talent anyways, if he has that kind of background and you still second round tender him.
Yeah, they obviously – Cowboys have never shied away from players with character.
So I'm giving him David Irving just because they definitely need pass rush at this point in their depth chart, and it's got to come from somewhere. I think he's got the highest ceiling out of the guys that are left, and so Cowboys take a chance on him there.
And let's be honest, he can line up everywhere and definitely can rush from the inside.
Yeah, they play him in the interior a lot, and I'm like, okay.
I would play him. I love him in the interior because I think he is kind of a linear pass rusher, but he's just so – combine his explosiveness with his length. It's just, you know, a lot of guards are a little shorter armed.
Explain to the listeners what being a linear pass rusher is.
Like a linear pass rusher, like so I think guys that can't bend and don't know how to – don't know how to bend the edge or don't know how to speed counter rush to like – use speed to get the tackle's hips open up the field and then use a counter to get back inside of them. If you're not great in either of those ways, the best rushing from the inside gives you a more direct path to the quarterback. So you don't have to bend an edge really or anything like that. You just kind of have to overcome a blocker straight up in front of you, and then you can impact the play in that way. Plus, underrated thing, but his arm length is so significant that he gets his hands on a lot of passes on the inside and muddies things up for quarterbacks. So, you know, I think because of those things, those physical traits are just unbelievable with Irving.
I just wanted to have you explain that, because you and I have said that term before, you know, being linear about what you do, and that's just more of a when we say that, we mean a much more direct route to wherever you're going. That's what being a linear something means, whether like route running or being like certain type of running back. That's the same thing as like north to south. It's kind of the same thing for a defensive lineman. Linear means just you're going straight up. You're going right at him. You're trying to overpower him. You're not getting cute with it. And so sometimes that's what guys need, because like John said, they can't bend, they don't have moves, whatever it is, blah, blah, blah. All right, get to the Lions.
Lions on the clock. They took Lake and Tomlinson. I give it an F. Man, terrific. Remember, everybody was like, oh my gosh, he's so high character. He's like a doctor or something like that, and like a certified genius or something, and then it just didn't translate to the field very well. I was frustrated with myself for Lake and Tomlinson, man. Everybody was hyping him up and excited, and I watched him, and I thought, man, this guy's issues, but you never want to bet against the smart, likable, you know, hardworking type of players. You just don't. And, you know, I just felt like he was going to, I just talked myself into, he's going to put it all together. You know, he's going to put it, I gave him a second round grade, which is still lower than some people, but way too high in retrospect. And
trust the film.
I know. Should have trusted the tape. I've been kicking myself for that one for a while, because I knew it. I knew it based on his on-field performance. You know, he was a guy that I described him as somebody who was constantly having to recover, but he was really good at recovering. Well, let me let you guess how that turned out for him in the old NFL when you're always recovering. Yeah, not great at all. So definitely not an ideal pick for the Lions. If they could go back and do it over again, I'm sure they would like to go in another direction. And guess what? We're giving them that opportunity because we're cool like that.
Don't.
I get why they drafted a guard, dude. This team had Larry Warford on one side, who was solid. Rodney Austin. I never even heard of Rodney Austin. He was the guard on the other side. I never heard of one backup on
Rodney Austin could be a good WWE name.
That could be. That's true. But he wasn't a good football player. And I think with Anders Pete on the board, Pete gets a lot of crap.
Hey, did you know, did you know that the Bucks' former safety, Sabby Piscitelli, now does like WWE wrestling?
Oh yeah. I remember Sabby when he ran his 40, just because he was one of the most yoked dudes I've ever seen in the NFL. Well,
now he does WWE stuff.
He lined up for his 40 and I just was like, Lord have mercy. His arms are, it was Popeye-esque. I mean, but anyway, digress.
Spinach.
I think Pete's been a good player for the Saints. Just you hoped he would be a franchise tackle, and he wasn't, and they moved him inside, and he's been good there. And, you know, he's always going to have some limitations in pass protection. But, by the way, the biggest butt on a prospect I have ever seen with Anders Pete. I've never seen a prospect
have no question. Thick.
I mean, that dude had junk in the trunk. He's about as thick as it gets. It's actually insane to watch him do warm, like to go through the combine. You were just like, how is he not falling over? Like, how is he able to, more like, how is he able to move? Just anchored to the ground, I would think. Anyway,
can anchor well. Check.
Great anchor for sure.
Actually has an anchor attached to his backside. Check. The Indianapolis Colts, they took Philip Dorsett, which was stupid.
Don't mince words. Don't mince words for the people.
They were stupid at the time. I mean, their wide receiver depth chart, as I'm looking at it right now, as of April, right before the draft, is
Ryan Grigson special. That's what this
10 players deep. It's 10 players deep, but they're all not good.
Sure.
And the one trait that they had. Hold on. The one trait that they had, they tried to draft again.
Speed or small size?
Why?
Because Ryan Grigson's the worst GM in the history of professional sports, other than that hockey GM, Peter Chiarelli or whatever his name is.
Is that the guy who traded Gretzky? I don't know who that is.
That's the guy who traded like every good player ever for a bag of chips.
Sick. I'm giving him Demaryius Randall. He's still here. He actually goes in real life. He actually went one pick after this to the Packers. but the Colts secondary is awful. Just bad. There you go. I'll just say it's bad. And they've kind of been trying to recover for the last couple of years, obviously, get their secondary all shored up. Now they have a living god in Malik Hooker, which is great, but they're still trying to fill that out around them. Demaryius Randle would have been a much better pick, and he still would have been on the Colts at this point. So,
man. So now what do we give the Packers for drafting Randle? He's not there anymore. He was a participation
trophy.
He got some turnovers. He got burned a lot. I feel like it has to be a C, right? But we just drafted Demaryius Randle.
Yeah. Dom Capers weird. So
B minus. That's what it would be.
Just give him a C. It's fine. A Dom Capers defense is so funny. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see what he does back at safety. I vouch for him to go to corner during the pre-draft process, and then he did.
I mean, he can play both.
Yeah, maybe he can. He didn't play safety at all in Green Bay. I don't recall him playing safety at all. So now the Packers are on the clock. Gosh, they need linebackers like crazy.
Give him Denzel Perryman.
No, I'm not giving him Denzel Perryman. I'm giving him the GOAT, Jordan Hicks.
Wow, dude.
Hicks has been great. He just
Perryman's. I don't know. Well, I wasn't going to say better, but.
No, he's not better. Perryman's a two-down guy. I'm not taking that in the first round at linebacker. Thank you very much. But Hicks is the real deal. He'd be one of the better backers in the league, probably. He can't stay healthy. But at this point, man, this is who's left on the board. Jay Ajayi, Nelson Agholor, Darrell Williams, Trenton Brown, Trey Flowers. Marcus Golden's still here. We said we're not taking Frank Clark in the first round. Malcolm Brown and Danny Shelton. Those are the only players we've deemed worthy of being first-round picks in retrospect. Not even all those guys, just being considered, I should say. It's brutal. There's not much left. Somebody get Mark. We got to get Marcus Golden out of here. We got to get
Malcolm he's Brown getting out of here. Don't worry about it.
Got to get Trey Flowers out of here.
Don't you worry about it.
This is the Saints, right?
Don't you worry about it. Yeah, because the Saints picked earlier in this draft, right where they would have picked Andres Pete. I picked Amari Kendricks. Now I'm giving him Marcus Golden pick good football players. And so that's what, the Saints often do. Except picking Marcus Davenport, number 14, but I digress.
Jeez. This is interesting. There are four players left that I would take here that I would consider here. Jay Ajayi, Nelson Agholor, both on the Eagles, Trey Flowers, Malcolm Brown, both on the Patriots. This is the Patriots on the clock. Oh, by the way, we didn't grade the Stephon Anthony pick for the Saints, which was obviously an F. He started 1 year for them, was benched, and then was cut.
Terrible. You know, not great.
Not great at all. Malcolm Brown pick for the Patriots has been a B.
Today's picks grades have sucked.
Horrible, dude.
Jeez.
Going back to the last pick we did yesterday was an F. Even two picks before that, Cameron Irving was an F. Out of our last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 picks. Out of our last 14 picks, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Fs. We didn't even give out 6 full Fs on the whole last first round. Brutal second half of this first round. It was terrible. Giving out a B, though, for the Patriots taking Malcolm Brown. This would be a good pick, honestly, given who's left on the board. I would give them Malcolm Brown or Trey Flowers here for the Patriots. I'm going to go Trey Flowers just because I think he gives you more pass rush potential, and I think it's more valuable. He can play on the inside. He can play outside. He's been huge for the Patriots because they haven't had – he's been the best 1v1 pass rusher on the team for like the last 2 years. You know, they just haven't had that guy at all since they got rid of Chandler Jones. So all about it. I think Trey Flowers in the first round. I had a first-round grade on Trey Flowers. He went in the fourth round. I'm not going to keep telling you how great I am, folks, but it's difficult to get away from. We're going to ignore the fact that I had like a fourth-round grade on Marcus Golden. Let's ignore that. He ran like a 4.9. I mean, come on.
You know who else ran a 4.9?
Sam Hubbard. Oh, wow. Look at that. Sam Hubbard did, but Sam Hubbard also had elite other testing. And Marcus Golden did not.
Weird, man.
Very odd. Well, Hubbard legit looks slow on tape, too. It's just even more funny.
Running in a straight line is the easy part. Right?
You would think it, right?
I mean, I don't want to simplify it that much, but I kind of just did.
He's like this amazing three cone that's like the same as like Von Miller. I don't know if that's actually true, but it's pretty close, I think. And then he can't run faster than like a 300-pound nose tackle. So,
oh, well.
Just the way it is.
Oh, well.
He looks slow on tape, too. And that's even more funnier because it's even more funny. It's even more funny because Hubbard was a safety in high school. And he was a five-star recruit at safety. He is 270 pounds now. He needs to cut some of that down. There you have it, folks. Your first round redraft of the 2015 class. Tomorrow, we go through and we talk about the best and the worst draft classes from the 2015 draft. I'm real excited for this episode because we know now. We were very much at that point where, you know, we said there's a couple players we're still waiting to see how things pan out. But for the most part, we know whether teams sucked or didn't when they did this draft class. I'm prepared to absolutely come in guns blazing and shred some teams tomorrow. And I'm prepared to give some teams props because we already started a little bit. The Vikings, they absolutely killed this draft, and they're not going to be the only ones. So until then, keep it locked right here, folks, on Locked On NFL Draft.